Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Monday, September 5th, 2011. Tech News Today is brought to you by Slingbox. Slingbox just turned your iPad into a television. Slingbox introduces a new iPad app, so now you can watch your home TV on your iPad anywhere you take it. Check it out at Best Buy or Slingbox.com. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt. And I'm alone. Sarah Lane and Ayaz Akhtar are back at the ranch in Petaluma, California. I was happy to get Ms. Veronica Belmont to join me on the show.
Thank
here live from Dragon Con in Atlanta,
Woo!
Georgia. Pleased to wrangle the Renaissance man, John Strickland, from the Tech Stuff podcast. Also happy to have Brian Brushwood from Framerate and
Hello,
SFW
America.
Show and Scam School to join us. And Justin.
Hey!
No, I'm very happy to have Justin Robert Young from SFW Show and the Weird Things. So this is a little bit of a different tech news today. We're actually recording it on Saturday here in Atlanta, but it's going in the feed to be our Labor Day show because Labor Day is a holiday in the U.S. We don't come into the office or record a show, but since we were at Dragon Con doing an extra show, wrangled these guys together to help me do a special Labor Day edition. So we're going to look through the feeds a little bit. It's going to be a little more relaxed, a little more informal than a normal tech news today. Then, because we have Brian and Justin on, and it was Brian's awesome idea, we're going to do some wild speculation with the audience, which some of you may or may not think is any different than a normal Tech News Today show. But let's start off with a look through the feeds. IFA is just wrapping up in Berlin, so we've got a lot of Android tablets coming out. A lot of product announcements.
Yeah, is there anything less exciting than any tablet story that's not about the iPad?
Like, no, it's just like Android tablets. I mean, I'm sorry. I've had a long-standing issue with Android tablets. Like, I want to like them.
Yeah.
And then every time I see them, I'm like, oh, you're just the same.
I'll tell you what, though. They could. The problem is they don't do enough to differentiate themselves from the iPad. And if they could take the story with the touchpad, the WebOS thing? Mm-hmm. There was a $99 alternative to the iPad. That's a totally different story. If you could have the Kmart iPad and it happened to be an Android device, then you got something that people
can make money on that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's not our problem.
Yeah.
I just
don't know. If you want to bankrupt a company by giving away product, then yes, no.
I'm sorry, Tom. Is there a story?
No, it was just, the biggest announcements at IFA in Berlin came before the thing started, so it's just kind of trickling in right now. A bigger story, we actually talked about it on Friday, or at least Ayaz and Sarah did, is the allegations that Apple lost an iPhone 5 and posed as policemen showing up at a person's home trying to get the phone back. The San Francisco Police Department has told a local paper, I don't know if you heard this or not, that plainclothes police accompanied two Apple security officials to the home of a local man. So the San Francisco Weekly story didn't have that part of it. San Francisco police originally told SF Weekly that they had no record of such a visit. So I don't know. Believe the police department? That visit. Oh, no, that was plain clothes.
I'll tell you what it is. It's like the To Catch a Predator thing, where it's like they come in and they're like, why don't you have a seat?
Exactly. You got an iPhone 5, huh?
So yeah, I guess for people who don't know the story, which I'm sure another iPhone was lost in a Mission District of San Francisco bar, and apparently it does look exactly like an iPhone 4. So looking at it, you wouldn't know any difference.
In the same way that the iPhone 4 looked exactly
it was in the body of a 3GS.
Yeah.
Last time, or had a 3GS case on it, and this time it actually is like an iPhone body.
Okay.
But the what's different are the internals. And so they claimed that it was stolen and then resold on Craigslist for $200. And then Apple used the track iPhone feature, the Find My iPhone feature, and located it to an apartment in the Mission. And the guy was like, I don't have an iPhone here. And they he's like, you can look around. And they searched his house.
Gotcha.
They didn't find it. And I guess that's when the plainclothes or secret police situation occurred.
So hold on a minute. This again got lost in a bar.
What is wrong with these iPhone developers?
Exactly. I'm just saying that
if
you are a practicing Mormon, now's the time to submit your resume to Apple. Non-drinkers only.
Yeah.
So I see here that you are a recovering alcoholic.
Yes.
That's excellent. Oh, yes.
Can I see your coin? Because we'd love to have it.
So it's crazy.
So now the story is that the San Francisco police are saying that there was accompaniment by law enforcement, but they were in plain clothes and the Apple employees were dressed up like cops.
No.
They were dressed up like cops.
I guess it sounds to me like they did an investigation in association with police, but I guess the police let Apple take point on this? Is that what it sounds like? If they're saying,
they gave such a compelling presentation. How could you not follow through with them?
Oh, one.
There are three fantastic new features of your prison cell.
I believe they were actually accompanied by Columbo.
Now there's just one thing I don't understand.
One more thing. So that's actually the biggest news here in all the feeds that I'm looking at. Apparently, you know, this is going to rock your guys' world, but a settlement is likely in the Google Oracle patent case.
All right.
Scandalous.
So trial date still set for Halloween.
Spooky adjudication.
You know what? Going back to the Apple story.
The ghost of patents passed.
That's Christmas.
But it's ghosts! It's a twofer!
If they were zombie
it's
patents.
A twofer.
This part won't play as well on audio, but imagine Veronica.
No,
Veronica is currently melting
audio.
Into her seat.
I snorted.
A new study published in the August issue of the journal PLOS Biology. Any readers? No?
No PLOSaholics out here? What's up?
I let my subscription lapse.
Yes, right. Well, you probably missed this then. Participants in the study spent at least 40 hours playing off-the-shelf video games throughout the course of the study, enjoyed better visual acuity and 3D depth perception scores than prior to playing the games. The study is the first to show that video game play is useful for improving blurred vision in adults with amblyopia. And Roger Lee, research optimist, said, I was very surprised by this finding. I didn't expect to see this type of improvement. So
this is one of those perennial things that it's always that headline, like, surprise, video games may be good for you. It's like, no, dude, video games are freaking awesome. You practice being a badass, and it's like you got motor control, you got visual acuity, you got problem solving. It's like everything. Like I cringe to see my daughter watching television, because every time I see your vegged out look on her face, I was just like, sweetheart, can't we just get her playing video games, just anything?
And at IFA, all of the demo models disappeared from the booth. They weren't stolen, but like they took the branding
David
down.
Was seen in the area.
They took the large poster down.
Oops.
The company has not talked about why they have removed all of that, but a spokesman told Slash Gear that it was a voluntary move, that it's not involved in any patent situation. It was not a theft.
Well, I was gonna say, this is like the most low rent version of Ocean's 11 ever.
We'll break into the open Samsung booth on the floor of IFA Berlin, and it'll take only the Galaxy Tab 7.7. It's a master criminal. Professor Matthew Botvinnik, with the help of a functional MRI, hopes to take your silent pauses and broadcast them for public consumption.
What?
What does that mean?
What does that even mean?
By mapping highlighted areas of brain activity to words meditated upon by subjects, the group was able to create semantic thread based on emotions, plans, or socially oriented thoughts associated with select neural activity.
Okay, so they're saying that what is being unsaid in our brains, they are predicting and can write out or print out?
It seems that way. I haven't had a chance to actually read this story.
Does anyone know what this story is about?
Yeah.
This guy.
Wait, we got a...
Twitter for your brain, but not stuff you speak, stuff that you think and don't speak. So right now it would just be like, don't panic, don't panic, don't panic. You shouldn't have drank today.
It could pave the way for automatic translation machines, extending a silicon-assisted grok into our nonverbal inner worlds that churns out computer-generated chatter, giving a voice
to people. I understand for people who can't speak, like, hey, here's a way that I can communicate. But otherwise, like, no, there's a reason that's on the cutting room floor. That's like crap deleted scenes on a DVD. Like, no, we don't need them.
There must be something smart about this we're missing.
I'm sure.
Well, the ability to... the ability to give people who are incapable of speech the chance to talk is pretty damn
no,
smart.
No, but I don't understand how they're getting from one place to the next place.
Yeah,
that's
no, I'd have to
I'd have to
dig into this a little more.
Here.
Right. Let's get excited about DirecTV adding AMC and HD next week.
Woo!
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, no, that's awesome. I actually
Dude,
have
I'm actually,
it's like
awesome.
The people who don't have DirecTV are like, nah, okay.
Yeah, I don't have DirecTV. I don't know why I got excited.
I already have it in HD, bitch.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So finally, I can get all those non-Darabont, you know, well, Walking Deads in crystal clear HD. That's great.
Was
thanks,
that one
AMC.
Of those cutting room floor things that came through?
Oh, yeah. That was terrible. That was the ghost of jokes past.
Thank you.
Suddenly thirsty, Belmont.
Is this vodka? Can it be a reader right now?
Yeah.
It's like so overwhelmingly upsetting to me because I feel like I need to read every single one of them, and yet I don't think I could do that in less than a weekend.
It's
and
so,
then they keep coming back. It's just like throughout the whole time.
It is suffocating. And I moved a lot of my RSS feeds to Twitter feeds, especially sites that post like 20 things a day.
Mm-hmm.
I took them out of my RSS feed, and so like now when I'm on Twitter and I see that and they post a lot, I'll see that content, but I won't feel the need that, like, I need to read everything that TechCrunch.
Yeah, no, and I like that because the analog is like the Twitter feed is them, RSS is them throwing crap in your inbox. You know, it's an email that you feel like you got to do before you set it aside. Whereas Twitter is them in the cubicle next to you saying, like, hey, buddy, got an article, 5 hottest tech blogs of the 20th century.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Check it out.
But if you're out,
it's right over here.
I like the fact that if you're out, they're still yelling at your empty cubicle.
Yeah.
Like, hey, by the way, iPhone stolen. Did you hear that? It's crazy, right?
You know,
here's an analysis.
It is all about behavior. Jackie Chang wrote this article for Ars Technica, said making a conscious decision to scan through 20-something RSS items a few times per hour means that you're constantly interrupting what you were doing.
Yeah.
Don't believe me? There have been numerous studies that have shown that humans are notoriously bad at multitasking. Research scientist Eric Horvitz found in 2007 that Microsoft employees took an average of 15 minutes to return to the task they were working on after being interrupted by a phone call, email, or instant message. And a 2009 report in the Proceedings of National Academies of Science said that heavy multitaskers tended to be more readily distracted by extraneous information than their more focused peers. So it's
totally
all about what you do with
that.
RSS.
Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
RSS itself that is evil.
I'll tell you what, the biggest distraction for me multitasking-wise is the loading of websites. If a website takes more than a second to load, I will check my Twitter, and then I'll click on a link, and then all of a sudden I'll find myself reading the Wikipedia page for Clone High, and I'm like, wait, wasn't I supposed to get back to this email that was urgent like 50 minutes ago?
Yeah, it's all about getting things done system. You know, it's like focusing yourself and all of that stuff. So
yeah.
I recommend that.
GTD.
I haven't been able to sit down and read that one.
I've been trying to get to
it. It's somewhere in my RSS feed.
Somewhere.
Major League StarCraft II. Anybody excited?
Yeah.
You got any fans?
Dude, well, and actually, it should be pointed out from a PC gaming perspective. I was just listening to, I think, one of the PC Gamer podcasts where they were talking about this. They were talking about how this is essentially their experiment to create the ultimate cyber athlete game. You know, it's like this is their attempt to try if anything is going to be competitive and fun to watch. And I don't know if you've watched any of the commentaries on YouTube of live multiplayer challenges of
is it good?
It's freaking amazing. And plus, they've learned one of the keys that's important in the sports world is you got to have compelling narrators to explain why what you're seeing is important.
Yeah.
It's like I love. I think there's enough traction behind this. I think there's a better chance of this taking root now with this project and this idea than it's ever had before.
Yeah, Major League Gaming has been around since 2002, but it wasn't until StarCraft II that it is suddenly now blowing up.
Yeah, they're even playing games in bars, like the big tournaments.
No
really?
Kidding. Yeah, like Mad Dog in the Fog in Thank you. Mad Dog and the Fog in San Francisco in the Lower Haight, which actually used to be my neighborhood, is now showing the StarCraft II tournaments, like, on all their flat screens, and people come and drink, and I guess some of the regulars are a little confused. This is not rugby.
The biggest thing, if you look at the explosion of any kind of sports league, mm-hmm. is television or some sort of medium.
Broadcast
that blows
medium.
It up, yeah, that blows it up far beyond what it is, and I know just in terms of my own interaction with, like, Justin TV or Ustream, the number one thing that I'll always see on there is multiple feeds of people playing mm-hmm. these kind of games. So I wonder if Justin TV or some sort of live streaming platform can be what ESPN or broadcast networks were for football or baseball.
But sports bars are getting in on this action because that gives people the opportunity to... Half the fun of watching a sports game is, like, being with your pals, like, drinking, right. watching the game at the bar, or, like, yeah. you know, out in public somewhere having fun, like a common shared experience. So not just sitting in your room watching the game on Ustream.
Right.
It's like,
yeah.
I think this is kind of like that even next step.
But
like
I'll tell you, there is one thing that... you really, I think, needs to be focused on. It'll be a mistake if they don't, which is if it's only focused on the gameplay, then you are never going to get a wide adoption.
So Zerg cheerleaders?
No, not the cheerleaders, but, like, look at King of Kong. King of Kong is a documentary about mm-hmm. people playing Donkey Kong, which we've all played and all kind of processed and made a judgment on, but you give the Steve Wiebes and the Billy Mitchells these huge spotlights, and all of a sudden now you care about this Donkey Kong game.
And that's what they do with all sports. I mean, ESPN
Absolutely.
Is nothing but creating these narratives for the story behind the story. Now, of course, whenever it's Final Four tournament time, of course, the narrative is, you know, who's in, who's out, and the stakes are high. But there are two things that I've noticed with sports is, number one, my enthusiasm for sporting events is directly proportional to how many of my friends are surrounded who yeah. are into this kind of thing, right? So, number one, the good news is StarCraft II is an incredibly popular game, and this is the kind of thing, if it's going to take off at a bar, this is a good game for it to be. And the second thing is, my enthusiasm for sporting events is also proportional to how many times I've played it. You know, it's like if I've played a few soccer games and I remember the rules, or basketball games, it's like my intimacy with a spectator sport is directly proportional to how familiar I am with having played the game and yeah. the rules as well.
All right, I got a couple of emails here. I want to see what you guys think of. Miriam writes in and says, "Hey, TNT crew, on yesterday's show, Sarah was wondering how important removable batteries are for people. In my case, it's very important, and I won't buy a computer without one. I homeschool 5-year-old triplets who love their video games and music. When we travel, have downtime between classes, or one isn't taking the class, they work on one of my gadgets. The first day we did this, I realized I needed spares and stocked up. We also took a 17-hour international flight with no dead devices. My husband laughed at me when I pack, but when his Droid X gets to 10%, he is happy. I imagine other frequent travelers are in a similar boat. You know, the trend from Apple has been to make the batteries non-removable. You just have to recharge.
I would have totally, totally agreed with this 5 years ago. But since having been forced into the non-removable battery clubhouse by Apple, I've realized that you can have external batteries.
Yeah, it's not as convenient, though, is it? Or is it more convenient because you don't have to open the battery?
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, how is imagine having a brick, right, with 18 hours of power that you could plug into anything on USB versus why is it more convenient to have a mishmash collection of 8 to 10, you know, backup batteries that you have to individually substitute for each device one at a time? It's like, if anything, by consolidating to an external power source, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I was actually about to say that my 3GS, which I am patiently waiting every single day until the iPhone 5 gets announced so I can buy an iPhone 4 and then exchange it for an iPhone 5 when it comes out, because I'm sick of this thing because the battery is broken. And anytime I do three things at once, it just shuts down no matter how much power is in there. And I was going to slam Apple for that, and then you said that, and it just made me realize I should go get a Mophie juice pack and shut up. Apple never makes mistakes.
Apple never makes mistakes.
You're a witness.
Yes, exactly. And if you say different, three plainclothes police officers will come to your house.
This one comes from Philip. He says, "Hey, guys, first off, I just wanted to say that the show is awesome." Okay, thank you. Now, I just wanted to... Right now, the idea is to bring more selection to Canada because although Netflix has improved its selection in the last few months, it's still very underwhelming compared to the selection in the States. Licensing is everything. That's interesting. We're starting to see a lot more momentum coming behind love film in the UK and Europe, and they're trying to fend off an impending Netflix move. And seeing some competition in Canada for Netflix is interesting because, you know, competition, I think, is good for the consumer. Mm-hmm. We don't really have, in the United States, anyone to compete with Netflix directly, except for Blockbuster.
Yeah, and they're just not doing
They don't seem to be gaining much ground.
Well, it's all about, I mean, these deals are very, very, very hard to do, you know, especially even when people have their future of their business riding on them, they cannot get these deals done, as we saw with the music industry and Google and Amazon when they wanted to do their locker services and eventually wound up going, you know, an opposite and an end around way where Apple apparently was able to make that deal. It's hard, hard, hard to do, especially when nobody wants to make the iTunes mistake of locking themselves into one thing at a certain thing that at a certain price that they feel is damaging to the growth of their industry. So, I mean, if anybody can do it, that's awesome. And I think if people can create a catalog that rivals Netflix, people will subscribe to it. Well, and king.
This is the part that puzzles me. I mean, obviously, if anyone's going to make it work in Canada,
yeah,
I would
like 1750 now that they're losing stars.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Well, it might just be because they're not Netflix. I mean, we've seen people make deals like when the music industry was upset with how iTunes was doing their pricing, and they were stubborn on it. They gave Amazon sweetheart deals on, you know, letting them sell their music
DRM-free right.
and for a lesser price. So it might just even be them trying to foster competition so they're not beholden to the only people who do a super popular streaming service.
And as far as competitors to Netflix, I mean, we do kind of have Hulu and we do kind of have Amazon as well. But you're right. For the most part, I mean, we have one very dominant force here in America.
I think this is an indication, and maybe it's more of an indication overseas where there aren't Hulus and such, but it's an indication that despite all the rhetoric and all the resistance from cable companies and studios, that this is where everything is going.
Yeah.
And so when you start to see more people jump in and start businesses, that means, you know what? They're going to work out all this complicated stuff that's holding things back, and this is where it's going to end up. Right. We are going to be streaming our movies and TV shows on the internet, whether they like it or not.
At some point, it becomes so obvious that even a cable exec can see.
And then
where
if the new
headed.
Companies do a really good job, Netflix can buy them, and then we don't have to worry about all that.
That's part of the calculus. You're right, actually. I mean, that's, you know, if I'm starting a company, they're like, hey, you know what? If we can do something different than Netflix and do it better, we either beat them or they'll purchase us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and take our technology.
Now that they have that extra 250.
RNLAB.com. That's a group, Furniture Laboratory. I started to create an affordable, full-size, open-source CNC machine design and put it out to the world.
Is he the CNC Music Factory?
It's different than that.
Okay.
Computer number control. So it's I won't go into it, but it's AutoCAD, or it's CAD, it's design, and would allow you to print your own furniture, so to speak, if I can totally oversimplify it.
I just want to make very clear to everybody at fernlab.com that the audible Veronica Belmont ooh came when she looked at the website. So
yeah.
Cheers to you guys.
They want to jumpstart the future of distributed manufacturing. So the idea that, you know, you could do some manufacturing in your garage of things, not just furniture, but all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. They have a Kickstarter project going on right now, but we only have 19 days left and are at just 30% of our goal. In the last few days, we've been featured on treehugger.com and core77.com, but we're having trouble catching traction. So if distributed manufacturing is of interest, if this idea of open source CNC machines is of interest, you might go check it out, furnlab.com.
Dude, how great is Kickstarter for these kinds of things?
Oh, my God.
Len Peralta kicked off his Geek a Week series, his second series of geek trading cards, geek portraits, podcasts. And he's kicked it off saying, look, here are the people I'm going to do, including George R. R. Martin, amongst others. And if I get them, or if I get enough Kickstarter funds, I will release a different portrait. So he's got metrics there. He got an amazing response just in one day. It's incredible.
What's amazing is that we talk about the democratization that the internet makes available, the rise of the middle class rock star, but it also makes Kickstarter's example of the rise of the middle class venture capitalist. You get to sit here and feel important and audition ideas and say, I believe in this guy, I believe in his project, and then throw $5 so you can get the koozie. I mean,
I love this idea of an open source machine that people could build, put in their garage, and it's not going to eliminate big industry, but their tagline, making production local again, it's like bringing back the cottage industry, you know, making it so you don't have to ship things in containers halfway around the world.
Well, and it's funny because it's like that's a problem, you know, some of us are nostalgic for the late 1970s when you could go to Radio Shack and buy enough components to actually build a computer yourself, and then it got away from us, and this is a case where it's the technology is finally catching up to where we're bringing it back to the garage, to where now you can buy a device that you could build essentially anything in your garage.
All right, let's take a quick break before we start our wild speculation part of the program. thanks to Slingbox for helping us sponsor our show. Slingbox, how many of you have a Slingbox actually in the audience? We've got a few people out there.
And when he says in the audience, he didn't mean you actually brought it to the panel. Yeah.
Although that may be true.
That would be awesome. Someone holds it up like John Cusack.
How many of you actually have used your Slingbox when you're on vacation to catch up on some TV shows from home? Yeah, we got a couple hands up there. So, for those of you who don't know, Slingbox is a device. You buy it, you plug it into your television, you plug it into your internet, and then it allows you to watch your television remotely. So it's an easy way to add television to another room because you can watch it on a laptop or an iPad in another room. But you can watch it anywhere you got an internet connection. So if I'm in Atlanta, I can catch up on Haven and Torchwood from last night on my home television just by pulling it up on my iPad or on my laptop. Check it out at a Best Buy near you. Or go to slingbox.com for more.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. I was watching Justin Robert Young actually log into his DirecTV thing now on his iPhone. Yes. That's amazing. What are you watching?
I think I left it on NFL Network when I left the house. So I think I'm watching a Falcons preseason game on tape delay.
Yeah.
Slingbox. No, seriously, it is the only thing that you need to have in life. If you are not near your house a lot, if you work a lot.
A loving wife? Psh.
Enough. Overrated.
Don't forget that the new iPad app, now you can watch your home TV on your iPad anywhere you take it. Slingbox and your home TV, appearing on iPads everywhere. Check it out at Best Buy or slingbox.com. I wonder where we would start wild speculation topics. When is the iPhone coming?
Tomorrow.
And what will it look like?
Well, thankfully, we do have a little nugget of intel. The fact that it's in the same form factor, I think...
It is the same form factor?
It's not necessarily.
You don't think?
Yeah, no.
That
I mean,
version was just built into an iPhone case.
Wait, so did
it was like the development
doesn't confirm anything.
But the reports we have is that he said it looked like an iPhone 4 or it looked like it was made to look like an iPhone 4.
No, what they said was that it looked like an iPhone 4, but the internals, what was inside, the processor, everything else, was not an iPhone 4.
Well, yeah, it looked like an iPhone 4 got sold. On Craigslist is an iPhone 4,
I mean, it was an iPhone 4.
This is great. This is
nothing.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
Hey, that's all said. This is wild speculation.
Yes.
All we know is that the stuff inside it will not be twice as big as an iPhone 4.
So hearing that makes me think that maybe there's more credence to the rumors that it's going to be an iPhone 4S, instead of an iPhone 5, an evolutionary step rather than a revolutionary one, dual core processor, that kind of thing.
It's going to be a next generation of the A processor series, whether they call it the A5 or whatever. It's going to be that, and it's going to have a higher megapixel camera, I have a feeling. But I agree, Brian. I don't think it's going to be a huge jump forward. So what I do think is that it's not going to look like an iPhone 4. The way they usually differentiate it is, we're going to change the design up. Whether they change it radically or not, I don't know. But they're going to say, hey, it is different. It looks different. And they're going to try to sell it on the performance upgrade.
It reminds me of the
iPhone 3G.
I think the biggest change is going to be...
Software.
Software.
And you're right. Absolutely. They're going to use the software to distinguish it as well. Because the software is the launch of iCloud. And so they're going to say, hey, now iPhone, takes your music wherever you go, even if you don't have a lot of storage. That's why I think the rumor about the 8 GB internal is probably got a possibility of coming true, because you don't need as much storage if they've got all this cloud service.
I think that also the biggest in terms of the disruption of the mobile scene in general is the idea that they are going to come out with a super low cost or something that could be free subsidized wise that would put iOS in so many more hands, because I think a lot of people who don't care about a mobile smartphone and just walk into a Verizon or AT&T store and say, well, my time's up on my contract, what can I get? If somebody says, well, this is like an iPhone, they get it, and it's an Android phone. Now you can say, here's an iPhone, and they get it. And I think that will you know, be, I think, very disruptive in terms of what we see now in terms of Android adoption rates and iOS adoption rates, specifically for cell phones. In terms of the launch date, I don't think it can really come out any later than early October if they want to fully maximize the Christmas season, which it seems like they want to differentiate the iPad release date as a spring thing and the iPhone release date as a fall thing to get them away from each other, which is how they were before when iPad was first released. So it seems like they wanted to be their big Christmas killer, and if it's that, it's early October.
Yeah. Instapoll, DragonCon Instapoll, how many of you want us to stop talking about the iPhone now?
Jerks.
That was even more than I expected.
Yeah.
I knew it'd be big.
Like, you do realize this is the Tech News Today panel, right?
Okay. Next, let's take the next big topic of speculation.
Yeah. Let's just walk on over to Richard Garriott over here and form a line behind him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, actually, I think that's a better idea to avoid some feedback and stuff. So.
Lord British. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
All
right. I saw somebody in Hogwarts robes that kept kind of lifting his hand.
Factories inside of their own houses to build their own stuff. I mean, I think we're kind of missing the middle step here is, you know, for people to compete with people like Walmart, you know, these are large companies who's able to cut costs through the distribution centers. So small businesses, if they have distribution centers inside of themselves, are now able to compete on a fixed point price like Walmart
and give
the customization. But on the individuals, just saying directly that, oh, well, everyone can have it on their own garage, that still is a bit expensive on the person level.
No, I could totally see a future.
One step closer to Brian's $99 iPad.
That's right.
But that, you know, that's a good reason why you should make an open source project to help expand on that and bring the cost down. I think that's cool. Thanks. I forgive you for cutting now. That was a
really
good
point. Yes, exactly.
My idea is next gen iPhone will have boot camp to where you can boot either iOS, Android, WebOS. It will be revolutionary and it will really change the
game.
And
it will be delivered by a unicorn with rainbows coming out its ass.
And it will change the game, which you all just lost, and that's really the only reason I got up here. Sorry.
What?
I don't quite get it.
He's trying to get everyone drunk.
Something about unicorns. Yeah.
Sure.
Before I go on to the speculation of it, about the localization, that's a good book to read. But I'd rather speculate instead about iPhone, maybe the next Nexus. Is it going to be on Verizon? Is it
Nexus
going somewhere
Prime,
else?
Prime, so-called? Yes. Yeah.
That would be a better topic to me.
What do you think? When are we going to get the Nexus? Where is it going to come from? Samsung going to make it?
I think it will be Samsung. I'm hoping it'll be Verizon because I like Verizon a whole lot more than anybody else, but... Unfortunately, with it being CDMA,
what do you like about Verizon?
I get great service everywhere here in Atlanta, at least. Mm-hmm. And I've been on Sprint and haven't had service inside my house. I kind of hate AT&T.
Yeah,
so
that's fair.
Yeah, that's me and Verizon.
Yeah, can we just randomly, and this has nothing to do with anything, but like,
can we just randomly start screaming?
No. I like, and I know this is like an issue 4 years out of date, but what on earth was AT&T thinking by burying the Singular brand name? Singular was, in general, a very well-liked brand name.
I had Singular.
It was?
Yes.
Yeah,
it was.
It
totally was.
I never thought of it as that. Everybody knew that.
Oh no!
Singular.
No. In general, they hated it.
But, yeah.
They were at a time when everyone was being stingy with Menace. They're the one who associated their brand with rollover Menace.
They were the one who
started all that. Yes, they were.
You know what? I think it's because in my brain, whenever I read Singular, I translated it to Pac Bell, and that's what I. Yeah. And Pac Bell was awful. So if you didn't do that, then I could see that. I could see it being a positive.
Which replaced with AT&T just blew my mind.
Well, because I mean they were the big dog.
It's brand recognition there. People are like, what's Singular? I don't know what it is.
No.
It's a little orange guy.
There were stadiums
what is he doing?
Named
Jumping
after
Jacks?
Singular by this point.
Yeah.
Singular fought uphill to get a very positive brand valuation, and then they just flushed it down the toilet for
also,
no
Also, people
reason.
Couldn't spell it. They kept spelling it with an S.
Well, that's people.
All right, but what do you think about the next Android platform? Any ideas?
I got nothing.
The next
I'm very curious to see, not necessarily in this version of the Nexus, but going forward, how Google's deal with Motorola, assuming it goes through, affects this kind of thing. Because you know the law of a publicly traded company with a lot of shareholders says that you should be doing things that maximize your bottom line, and a promise to all these other manufacturers that they're going to support them in equal. As Motorola would not seem to jive from the outside looking in, which is why you got all those, like, well, we're really from the other manufacturers, like, we're defending Android. That's great that they bought Motorola. That's really awesome, for sure, for now.
It's likely hopefully. The Prime will have to be assigned before the Motorola deal gets approved.
Yes.
So no, this will be the last gasp. But yeah, that's a good point. That's a really
I think going forward, it's going to be interesting because Google, if there's one thing that Google has a track record of, it's just kind of doing things and then justifying, like, well, you know.
We were just trying something out.
Yeah.
Experiment.
Exactly. You know, it's not evil, right?
Strickland, jump in on the speculation anytime.
I would say HTC might think it's evil.
They might. Just a little bit. Evil.
Tom, I just want to say, love the top five. Veronica, love the daily minute.
Whatever it is,
Tech-Zilla.
I do. Yeah.
Tech-Zilla. The Tech-Zilla daily.
Go jump in on that,
kids. So I had a question. I know, Veronica, you're around in the 30s of most followed people on Google Plus now.
Am I?
There's a site. There's a site that's like you can actually see the ranking.
Socialstatistics.com. Not like, that I check it every day.
Yeah, something like.
Number 124. Let's fix this, people.
You can tag. You can say it by category, tech, or who each one. It's like G follower something or something like all.
Oh, that's where everybody knows that Mark Zuckerberg is the most followed guy on Google Plus. Yeah, that's it. Okay.
Schoble or Scoble's number 2 or 3 or something like that. What do you see the future?
Alan Schoble, way down there. He works at a Best Buy in Peoria.
What do you see the future of what the next thing they're going to do with Google Plus to keep it going?
I don't know. I love Google Plus. Although I noticed something here at the con that I don't think I realized before I got away from my computer, my laptop, is that I have not even thought to check or look at or add anything to Google Plus since I've been on the road. Everything I've been doing has been on Twitter.
Yeah.
And so I think it's something really important that they need to, you know, once they get a really stellar mobile platform in place and a good way to read and share content on Google Plus, that's going to be the killer app. I know they've been working on that, but it's still not really where I want it to be at this point. Maybe that's because I'm on an iPhone.
Yeah, I mean, does it need to be Twitter? I mean, because to me, it's completely
I don't think it needs to be Twitter, but I think it needs to have a better mobile experience for people to, like, you know, continue having it be their lifestyle port, you know, with other people. So that's one thing. I've been like, man, I haven't even checked Google Plus, and I was like posting like 5 or 6 times a day, like when I'm at my laptop, because that's when I'm reading stories, that's when I'm coming up with analysis for stuff. Twitter is still really more about like spewing information out into the internet, and Google Plus has turned into a much more analytical, discussion-based kind of community.
I honestly don't know that they're going to be able to tackle that because
he's
going to
put that on Google Plus right now.
Yes.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm doing. I just took a picture of her talking about how she hasn't posted to Google Plus, and I'm posting it to Google Plus.
Responding to the comment of Brett Silver.
Well, I mean, I do think that right now for me, Twitter is where I have a conversation now. If I want to talk to somebody and have immediate interaction, and I want somebody to go, I'm starting a live stream now, I put it on Twitter because people who are looking at that are looking at that and click a link. Google Plus is where I put a larger conversation, where if I want to think, you know, like, hey, if I want to start a thread, that's where I do it. So people who are not maybe watching Google Plus right now will eventually come to it, and I can have a more substantive conversation. Well,
and that's the benefit of Google Plus. And this is what they have to be very careful. First of all, they need to move very, very slowly as they figure out exactly what Google Plus is. I think there's one thing that we all agree. Google Plus means depth. And that's the reason that you do it in the cubicle, when you're able to say a paragraph or two about what you want to say. And then you'll instantly sit there and you'll watch the comments come in and you'll chime in and you'll get that deeper interaction. What they must not do, and I wonder what will happen as the API gets released and they open up the free marketplace for people to create this giant diarrhea stream of just, you know, hey, I'm at the store now, you know, and turn it into Twitter. They need to. Twitter is electric at certain events when very small nuggets of information are exactly what you want. For example, here at DragonCon, it's perfect. You know, I'm over at this, I'm jumping over this fence, I'm at this party, that kind of thing. The Google Plus is onto something here, and they need to make small moves, and they need to preserve and don't get me wrong, as a user, I wish that I just had an easy way to fire off more content for my Google Plus, but instead, the way it's set up right now, it forces me to be insightful and deep. I feel bad if I post something on Google Plus and I get less than 10 comments. I'm like, this was trivial and I never should have posted this. But then there's that moment when you say something and it sparks a discussion that can go beyond you, that can leave ripples all over the internet.
Tell me about it.
It's amazing.
I posted a video of this 2-year-old like girl buried in the sand, and she's just laying in the sand. She's you know what the one I'm talking about, right?
This like a thing?
No, okay. This turned into a thing.
It turned into a thing?
And so it's like a 2-minute long clip, and the mom's like, "You want more sand?" And the baby goes, "More sand." And like she's like, "You want more sand?" She's like, "More sand." And so it was hilarious.
Sounds adorable.
Within 2 minutes, that's child abuse people started coming on. And it turned into this massive flame thread of just like people being like, "That baby's feeling suffocated and they can't communicate the feelings they're having," right? I'm like, I don't know if you've ever hung out with a 2-year-old, but if that baby is not happy, you will know for miles around that baby is not happy. And so it just went on and on and on. It was like this huge discussion, and I was like, I've totally lost control of this in a lot of ways. Like, but
no, because can you shut down?
I can,
I've seen that in the past. I've seen you
do
like,
that.
Yeah, I've seen I've read like a Veronica Belmont Google Plus comment that it's just like, all right, I've lost control. It's over, kids.
Yeah. You can't go home. I didn't close this one down because the number one thing with trolls is that you have to let like your own take care of trolls.
Yeah.
And like people definitely did come out in force and being like, first of all, that's not Veronica in the video like pouring sand on a baby. Number two, if you checked out the other video she posted where you can clearly see the baby's like laying on her back with a mound of sand over her, she's not in a pit of death.
Yeah.
Like buried 4 feet into the ground.
Well, what you can't see is the crocodile she was buried
There's
over.
There's that. Yes. Yeah. And so it's a fun way to really have these deep conversations. Sometimes they tend to veer wildly out of control, but they have given us some methods of deleting comments or shutting down threads and things like that. I think they're on the good track for moderation in terms of stuff like that. It's not necessarily at the place where I can use it the best way possible for, you know, as a brand, I guess, to say, to, like, share a lot of stuff because some people don't always want to see, like, you know, the most recent episode of Techzilla Daily comes out. They don't want me to post that.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I'm waiting for the time where Techzilla can have its own thread and we can do that kind of thing there when the brands really start.
They need some sort of branding thing there. I will say that right now with Google Plus, I'm very much enjoying and not to be too, you know, like, oh, I love the band before they got big kind of thing, but there are some people in my life that are like, oh, I don't get Google Plus. And I'm like, good. Because me and everyone else who's on Google Plus do, and we don't want to.
We love it.
Carrie Trotman in the audience right there. Carrie just commented on the photo I took of you talking about Google Plus. He says, I just watched Tom take this picture.
Yeah.
And then Christopher Rizzo said, I just watched Carrie post this comment. So the idea that you don't get substantive discussion.
Exactly.
On Google
clearly.
Plus, I think, is
clearly. In-depth analysis.
Patrick Delahanty says, I just broadcast this photo over to Twit.
I don't even know how to post photos from the app. I'm running iOS beta 5, so I don't know if maybe that's a problem with that yet, if it's not stable.
Really?
I don't know if Google Plus is stable in the beta. Yeah.
Maybe not.
So
yeah.
That might be part of my problem.
Maybe casually iOS
I'm just too
5
cool
dropping.
With my, you know. You know, I just have the developer build, whatever.
Did you saw that NDA about it?
What? Oh.
I'm going to go ahead and plus one this.
Next question.
Hey, so in the spirit of rampant speculation, what's the theory that this rumored Amazon Kindle tablet based on Android that's going to launch is really going to supersede the iPad or give it a good competitive advantage? Because you think about it, it connects to Amazon's web infrastructure already built that everyone already uses. It's going to be maybe 8 gigs or less, so it's going to be dirt cheap. It's going to be a smaller size, and this will be the tablet for everyone to use that they can afford to use.
Yeah, no, this is exactly what Android needs. If it does come to pass, this is an opportunity to be Walmart to, iPhone's target, you know, to be the cheaper alternative. Because Android, when you say it to most people, when you say Android as a brand, most people, the closest thing they can think of is like, oh, you mean a droid. And you're like, no, Droid is a subset. It's a licensed, you know, name or whatever. To bring the Amazon name to it, I think, would be what everybody is craving in the tablet market.
I'll say, in terms of a flat computer that you hold with your hands and serves a very specific purpose, the only other thing that I could see that differentiated itself in the market, like the iPad has, is the Kindle. And obviously they do two very different things, but I think that's why they're both successful. Amazon getting into the tablet market, I think, is very interesting because they very much know their consumers. They're consumers who buy things, and they can make a product for them to buy more things from Amazon. In general, I think Android is a ball of clay. It's whatever you make out of it. And the reason why I think I've kind of had problems with some Android phones is because it gets in the hands of these carriers and they load it with whatever they want. And you have the same problem that you had with other phones. Amazon can do something very, very cool, and I hope that they do it.
When I think about the Amazon Kindle, which is what they're saying they'll call the tablet, it'll just be the next Kindle. At least that's the rumor. I feel like it's going to do well, and it's going to be a success for Amazon. But I don't know how much of the market it's going to take from the iPad. It's going to take a chunk because the market is ripe for it. Right now, the iPad has got, you know, something 70 to 80% of the market, depending on who you talk to. And the fact of the matter is, anybody who comes up with a credible alternative is going to take a chunk out of that. It's just ripe for it, right? I mean, we've seen that happen with all kinds of brands. We saw that happen with the iPhone. We've seen that happen to Google, which used to have 90% of search, and now it's down to 60. We've seen it happen to Internet Explorer, which is, you know, also used to have 90-plus percent of the marketplace, and now it's down to 50. So, I mean, I think it's easy for Amazon to put out a good tablet that says, look, we're the first Android tablet that does all those things you want. Because we can provide them, because we have the platform, we have the services, and they may be able to take a bigger chunk than you would just by putting out a competent tablet by competing on price.
Keep in mind also on the price comment that this is Amazon is one of the very few companies who's in a position to sell products at a loss with the opportunity to make it up in the media sales afterwards.
Exactly. Because,
so this could, I mean, that's how they did with the original release of the Kindle. And we talked earlier in this broadcast about the $99 tablet being what it takes to take on the iPad. This very well could be it. They could be the right people at the right time.
Well, I'd say I think that you have to be competitive with the iPad on price. I don't think that you can be super, you know, I don't think you can be $100 to $200 more expensive than the iPad and really compete. But if you are in the same neighborhood and there is a good experience, there is a follow through in terms of what you do. Like when you buy a Kindle, you read books. You buy and you read books. And there is a good clarity of focus there. And that's something that they've done better than the iPad, even though the iPad's really tried to push hard into iBooks. You know, it's a great place for that. I think if they can focus on what they do and what the experience is from when you buy it to out of the box and live with it, that's the key to me.
I will say this much. You cannot get within $200 of an iPad's price with that before people, once you cross that threshold, people are like, why don't I just get an iPad then? Like, I mean, yep. There needs to be a very substantial price difference if Kindle's going to do it.
I think Amazon could compete at the same price more than other people because of the services they provide. But to really succeed, I think you're right. Because there's a certain percentage that are just going to be like, but it's not Apple.
Right.
You know, oh, it makes you coffee in the morning and it rubs your back and it cures your cancer, but it's not Apple.
The Android, it's like that the video that everyone went on with the Evo. Android has a problem in that it is perceived largely as a second-rate iPad experience when it comes to the tablets as well.
Wait, what is?
There's some really nice tablets. I mean, there's some really great hardware devices out there. But I think the experience, the device-to-device experience with Android just is too different a lot of the time, so that there's no sense of immediate intuitiveness to the platform when you get one of those new devices in your hand for the first time. So there's a bit of a learning curve.
Yeah, I think the failure of Android as a tablet platform is the same as, you know, the reason why they can't make a iPod competitor. You know, it works when it's on a phone carrier and you can, you know, you can put it out and grab market share like that, but when it's not tied to somebody who's, you know, you're in bed with a carrier paying you on some level, then it's just, you know, what's the point of it?
What if Amazon didn't compete on price but bundled in connectivity?
That'd be something big.
That would be.
They have the relationship. They've done it with the Kindle. It's a lot more data.
We're talking a pretty big difference from the WhisperSync to.
But what if Amazon was like, well, we'll make enough up. You know, what if their calculus wasn't we reduce the price of the tablet itself, but they say we'll make enough up
could,
to subsidize the connection.
They could compete on creating their own ecosystem where it's like because you feel like you're in a clubhouse the entire time that you're on your iPad device, you know, whether it's in the iTunes store, whether it's in the App Store, if they could have a similar alternative to that in the Amazon space, I could see. And again, it's got to be subsidized. You've got to have that massive price difference to attract everyone. And we saw once a tablet hit 99, everyone was just like, HP, whatever.
Okay, but who cares? I mean, like, they all bought it, but, I mean, who's going to be talking about the touchpad? You know,
nobody will, but that's the follow-up. That's the actual product itself. Meanwhile, everybody bought it at $99. Clearly, that's the magic price. And if you could subsidize it, then it
$25 is the magic price.
No, it's not.
No, I mean, like, it's at a loss. They were blowing them out.
That's right.
So then that's an unfeasible number.
No, it's not. Not if you're Amazon and you can make it up on they lost money on every single Kindle they sold when it first came out, but they made it up by creating the space.
Yeah.
So in your face.
No, but I'm saying, like, but 99 might not be.
Yeah.
I'm saying that 99 isn't necessarily that.
All right, real quick, last question before we shut down the broadcast version, and we'll still get the other two questions. They just may not make it into the final.
Also
broadcast.
In my face. I got faced.
Mostly just love the show, and I think Lenovo announced that they're coming out with a $200 tablet, like a 7-inch one.
Yeah, right.
And I think
very basic one.
There you go with something that might be appealing to businesses, which is the other market that you really don't talk about when you're talking about consumer devices. But, you know, someone can come into that space too and really try and compete with iPad, you know, much more effectively. But what does an
We've no run way! Out of time.
Uh-oh. Yep, we talked about 5 Android tablet stories in a row, which means everyone gets a tablet!
Tablet may not appear.
To see if there was an announcement. Fun.
But more importantly, what...
More information
You're
will
welcome.
Follow shortly.
Great. All right. While you all
yes.
die in a fire.
William.
Literally.
William Shatner has farted.
Your question quickly.
What does an Android tablet need to really be a credible competitor?
$99 price point.
It needs to work. It needs to work better. There's still just a little bit too buggy. The mm-hmm. ones that I played with, and they need a few more of those killer apps. Although they're getting there.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Can I ask you? Have you guys played with the Vizio?
No, you
tablet?
Can't. You got to tell us. Answer the question, and we move on.
Yes, I think
I have not played with the Vizio tablet.
Okay, I think that's a great idea because they are buying a lot of the same components that they need for laptops because of their TV model. It's very interesting. They should do more of that.
All right, real quick question, Pitfall Man.
With the whole DOJ AT&T thing, how much do you think AT&T is going to be willing to cut off to still buy T-Mobile?
That's a great question. They're going to do whatever they want, whatever they can to make that deal happen. I still think AT&T, T-Mobile are going to be bought. AT&T, T-Mobile going to start to merge?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
All right. Really fast, last question.
Seeing how I'm changing
Faster.
The subjects. Okay. Nintendo released information about the Wii U, and they have the 3DS. The Sony released the PS Vita. How is Microsoft going to stay in the game since they haven't brought anything new to the table?
I think that they're going to play on the platform, the ecosystem, and the apps that they offer, and Windows Phone is part of that.
Recused. Next.
AT&T is going to buy T-Mobile.
Thanks, everybody, for watching twit.tv live from DragonCon on Labor Day. You can find us on the web at twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, tnt@twit.tv. Give us a call, leave us a voicemail, 260-TNT-SHOW. We'll see you tomorrow.